Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 80 of the WP Cafe Show with me, Mark Wilkinson, and my co-host, Keith Devon. So if you're new here, we never say this, but if you're new here, thank you for joining us. And we do usually about half an hour every Friday afternoon chatting about the latest WordPress goings on, whether it's new features, dramas, cold things we've been doing, running our business, whatever it might be. So you're welcome along. Thank you for joining us. If you like the video, we'd appreciate you hitting the like button. It is really helpful to us. And if you haven't subscribed to the High Rise Digital YouTube channel, you can do that as well, because it means you get all these new episodes every week. Today, we're talking about WordPress 6.5, which is due for release at the end of March, I believe. And it's currently in beta. I don't know which beta it is. It might be beta 1, I think. And we're going to talk about some of the features. But before we get into that, how has your week been, Keith? What have you been up to? Has it been good? What have you been doing?
Hello, everyone. Generally good, I think. Yeah, it doesn't work. This week's gone. It seems to have kind of flown by. Butting my head against a wall with some stuff around getting all the Google Ads tracking and stuff set up for WordPress, so that's been really, really frustrating. We bought a very expensive plugin and to help us with that stuff, and it has broken our e-commerce on the site, and the plugin developer was not very helpful with support. And for a $300 plugin or something, I would have expected the support to have been a lot better. But there you go. That was very frustrating. So it's kind of back to square one with that, and I'm gonna have to do it all manually, which is, it'll be fine. It's just sets us back a little bit. But yeah, I've been doing quite a lot on that side of things this week. Building a new WordPress job board, other little bits and pieces. Yeah, it seems to have flown by this week, but in a generally a good way, I think. So quick, what about you?
Yeah, it was good. I got into a new project for one of our existing clients, building some sort of image generation stuff.
And oh, yeah. Yeah.
That was good. Means I had to sort of build some JavaScript in the editor, which was always interesting. It's one of those things that you feel like you've done it, and then you like you just test it one last time. It's like, no, it's broken again.
Do you know what I liked about that project is it felt like it was back to the old days. It was like, you're like, Keith, build me the front end. And I went to the code pen, did the front end for you. Mark, there's the front end. Turn that into the product or the plugin. Felt like the good old days.
Yeah, it was good. I started building that, and I started writing the markup for the front end. I thought, this is ridiculous. I'm going to just get you to do this. So you did like in about 5 minutes, and then fired it off, and it was just far more easy, which was nice. It was good. So yeah, that was my week. Usual support, etc., etc. A bit quieter this week. It's not half term, so the kids have been back to school. So been able to crack on with some stuff, which is nice. Yeah. Anyway, if you are joining us, please say hello in the chat. Elliot, Nick, Mark, Elliot again, and Michael. Thank you for joining us. Let us know who you are, where you're from. It's always nice to see who we have got listening or watching along with us at the time. So let's get into, to start with, this is something that we saw online before we get into the features of 6.5. And that is a bit of Gutenberg or block editor criticism. I think this was something you added to the notes, Keith. Do you want to give us a bit of an overview of what was going on?
This kind of started, I think, because I saw a tweet by Brian Cords. I don't know if that's how he pronounces his name. 00 Cords. Yeah. Cords. And I still called it a tweet as well. A post on X. And he was referencing a blog post by Anne McCarthy. So if you don't know Anne, she was the full site editing outreach lead. So working with developers like us, you know, trying to reach out, identify problems, kind of promote full site editing and kind of like manage feedback for it as well. And Anne's great. Like I think I've been on a kind of Zoom call with her a couple of times and stuff before on like group Zoom calls, and I've read loads of her stuff and I've watched videos of her. Just think she's brill. She has now left that position, and she took the opportunity now that she stepped away to, I think, have a bit of a "here's what I really think" moment. It's not super negative, but you can kind of feel that there's frustration, I think, and she just goes through some of the what she thinks are like the big issues that we need to fix with full site editing. Things like you mentioned this the other day or today, sometimes like you're editing something like a global style and you don't really know how that's going to affect things. So if you set the global paragraph font size to such and such, does that affect the paragraphs that you've already given custom like font sizes to? I don't think it does, but that's not necessarily clear. And there's lots of that within FSE where you're potentially making global changes and you're not sure that they're global, or you think you're making global changes and actually they're potentially not. So, and that's really hard stuff to probably solve, but that was one of the points. There's stuff about like icon consistency. The same icons are used quite a lot throughout the UI, but for different things. So that's quite confusing. It's quite confusing to know kind of just where you are within WordPress these days. There's lots of different ways to edit the kind of same thing. And it's all just a bit confusing and a bit messy at the moment. I think that was the general vibe I took from her. And that we need to fix that stuff because it's a problem. And then I thought like Brian, he just said, "This post is really the best summary of the current state of the WordPress site editor. He thinks WordPress 6.6 should be a complete feature freeze. We don't need more blocks in the repository." Might come back to that. "We need to solve the very clear UX and DX, so much developer experience issues that are preventing the site editor from being adopted more widely." So yeah, I kind of agree. I think, you know, we keep pushing on and we'll come to 6.5 later in the show, which is more cool stuff. And there's still all these bugs and still all these problems. Like there's literally thousands of bugs on the Gutenberg GitHub. Okay. When are we going to start fixing them? I know that like that is happening over time, but it does feel like, I don't know, we need to get to a place where we're happy with the way things are and they're good and they're working before we keep looking forward. But I know that's the way, you know, Matt is definitely pushing. And there's a real, I think there's a real tension because, so I said there, you know, Brian talked about we don't need more blocks in the repository. Having used WordPress as a pure user recently, I would argue that we definitely need more blocks in the repository. Something of a slider would be good. Something of an accordion stroke tab-based interface would be good. A good grid solution would be good. So I would argue that there are still some blocks we need. We probably never needed the verse block. We probably never needed this, that, and the other. You know, there's
There's some gaping holes. Yeah, there's some stuff that like probably is rarely used. And I think I kind of agree with Brian though in a way that we don't need new blocks until we get everything fixed. But then I think if you want to grow the block editor and you want to make WordPress the block editor and the full site editing experience the go-to thing for building websites, we need those blocks that you just said, because every other solution has those blocks. If you go and make a Squarespace website or a Wix website or using Elementor to build your website in WordPress, they're all there, aren't they? So people aren't going to move away from those things or move to WordPress unless they can do those things in WordPress. And if you can't do them, they're not going to use them. So I think, you know, there's two sides to the argument. But I would definitely like to see some of these bugs and issues in the article that Keith mentioned from Anne McCarthy. I thought it was a really good article. I thought it was well written and it was really well written. Balanced and nicely written. Yeah. So it was certainly
something. I know you shared the link on the screen, Mark, but just for people listening on the podcast, nomad.blog, and I think it's probably the most recent post on there. It's called "Overlapping Problems" is the name of the post. So I'd really recommend checking that out. And there's some interesting, you know, conversation specific, like especially around Brian's post. It got like 204 likes and 33 comments. So there's a good discussion around it. People like Mike McAllister jumping in, agreeing with it. He says virtually every user I'm testing with says the same thing. This thing is powerful, and I can see myself using it eventually, but right now it's just too dang confusing. And he says, why does UI UX often feel like an afterthought in WordPress? You'd think after decades, I won't read it all. It's, you know, it goes on and on. I recommend following both those people and checking out their posts on the topic. It's super interesting.
I asked for people to let us know what they thought. And Mark says, if separate core orientated blocks for a carousel and a masonry image grid were available, I would have been able to build the last three to four small sites without any custom blocks.
Exactly.
Yeah, I think they you know, they feel like things that you shouldn't need a custom block for. I think that's reasonable to say. An accordion and a carousel. I mean, you might hate them. You might argue that websites shouldn't use sliders and things, but people want them, so you kind of need to provide them.
It would be an opportunity to do it well, like, you know, build a really accessible, performant version of those things instead of relying on third-party solutions that maybe aren't that. I would say it's an opportunity as well.
And Elliot Richmond, thank you, Elliot, says, it's the nature of GitHub that some issues and bugs may get lost if there is no traction on them. Unfortunately, there are still old classic PHP bugs lingering in the repository. Yeah, I guess the question is, what do we do to make sure that they do get resolved?
Yeah. I think,
because they do need resolving, I think.
It's one of the problems as well. You know, we're often maybe not criticized directly, but it feels criticized for having conversations like this, and then people will say, well, do something about it, contribute, like, you know, have you created a bug? And I was like, do you really want me to create another issue to add to the 3,000 that, I don't know, I've 3,000, I've just pulled that out of nowhere, but to add to the very large number of bugs that are already there, it doesn't feel like a good use of my time or a good use of anyone else's time. I don't know. It just feels a bit, it feels futile, I guess. I mean, I don't know at what point can you just like purge things just to say, this hasn't been looked at in the last 5 years. So we're just going to remove it if it comes up again. And we do that with some of our clients sometimes, whenever we're like doing our Trello board gardening with our clients, like sometimes it's like, that's just been hanging around for ages. Yeah. It's probably okay now. If, you know, if the bug comes up again in the future, we'll add a new card kind of thing. And I just wonder if there's an opportunity. I mean, I don't run big projects like this, so I've got no idea if that's possible or not.
Yeah, I think Elliot agrees. Indeed, he says getting involved is important, but it can be disheartening when there is no traction generated on the issue you raise. It can make you feel disenfranchised from the development process. And yes, I kind of agree with you there, Elliot. I think that's the case. And to be honest, I feel I'm a developer. I feel that contributing in the development way is just too hard. I don't know how to do it. I don't know how to use GitHub and pull requests and SVN and track tickets. I just don't understand it all. So I just, you know, doesn't work. So if they could make that easier, that would be a start. But I don't know how
they make that too much easier, to be honest. But
exactly. Yeah. I'm not saying that's a criticism. I'm saying it is hard for even people like me. So never mind like the general public who might want to get involved and help. So, anyway,
Mark has posted 5,561. And I think he's referencing the number of issues.
Yeah. Yeah. That's quite a few.
Also feels disheartened, but we're not all doom and gloom. One more kind of tweet on this sort of topic, and that is one by Katie Keith of Born2 Plugins. She got some customer feedback from a customer of theirs, I think, that had moved to Shopify. So they'd canceled their subscription to one of Katie's products. Katie sent out like an email saying, oh, we've seen you cancel. Can you give us some feedback? This person very kindly did give some feedback. I think it's worth... Should I just read it?
I'll just read it.
It says, hi, Katie. Thank you for your mail. It wasn't a problem with your plugin. It just didn't meet my requirements. However, searching for what I needed drew me to the conclusion that after 3 years of persevering with WooCommerce, so this is WooCommerce specific, but I would argue this is a broader problem with WordPress, it was time to find something new. So in the last week, we have moved completely over to Shopify. I was finding the support overhead of WooCommerce onerous and was spending too much time running the technology rather than using it to grow my business. There you go. The biggest issue in the WooCommerce space for me would be the constant barrage of updates to plugins and core. It has become truly ridiculous. And every time I would log in to move the business forward, my first 30 minutes would be taken up with IT housekeeping. If your business is to thrive on the back of WooCommerce, you need to lobby for a change to the approach of the core and plugin development cycle.
Interesting. That's a really good, good reply at that, isn't it? Really good.
It's a great reply. Yeah, I don't know feedback. If his solution is appropriate, but the problem is definitely there. And it's a problem that I think we all kind of feel like actually maintaining WordPress websites is hard. I saw someone, I don't know if it was on this thread, kind of counter that, saying my experience of WordPress is completely different. We install minimal numbers of plugins. I let everything auto update, and the 70 sites I have just work. There's rarely any problems. My counter to that is you're a developer setting this stuff up. You understand, you know, that all these different third-party plugins create loads of points of failure. You probably have ways, you know, you've got experience of which plugins are good, which plugin development teams are good, which ones aren't. And you're in a much better position to curate that. Whereas the average user who's just installing WordPress, trying to find solutions, trying to run a business, doesn't have that to draw on, that experience and that expertise.
I'd agree.
So yeah, I agree that WordPress can be better than that. But for the average user, that's more of a realistic experience, I would imagine. And it's a problem. It's a problem for all of us.
Speaking of updates and plugins and themes and the like, that's a great segue into WordPress 6.5 features. Yeah. One of the things I read, whether this is still going ahead or not, it was in the features or roadmap idea, was that the theme and plugin auto-updates were going to be a little bit more robust in that if one of them generated a PHP fatal error, they would roll back to the original version of the plugin, which kind of means that you just kind of like, if that is the case and that's going ahead, there's kind of no excuse not to just auto-update everything all the time, which is what we do anyway. We just set everything to auto-update, stick an uptime monitor on the site. If it goes down because of an update, you just jump straight in there, restore the backup, and then deal with it, basically. That's our sort of attitude to the update process. Yep. Granted, most of the sites we work on, you know, it's not mission critical if the site goes down for 5 minutes. If it was a WooCommerce site that's making lots of money, then that would be a different story. I'm sure there's people watching. I can see some people in the chat that I know would be working on sites that is not the case, and they would have to do it slightly differently. But that's an interesting feature. I thought if it does end up getting into 6.5, it was definitely on the roadmap. Yeah. Have you got any favorites, Keith? Features coming up that you're looking forward to seeing, using, learning more about?
No.
All right. Okay. Move
on.
Like,
I'm not disheartened about 6.5 by any means, but there's nothing that's jumped out at me that I'm really excited about.
If you're watching and listening along, what is your favorite feature going to be in 6.5? I have a few that have piqued my interest, not necessarily that I've jumped off my seat and thought, wow, that's going to be awesome. So the first one is font management was supposed to be in 6.4, I believe, and then it was ditched for a while. I can't remember the reason that it was ditched. And that seems to be coming back. I had a look at the beta this morning, and it was pretty easy to actually add a Google font and to assign it to headings or paragraphs or even, you know, in a block. So that was really encouraging to see. The interface seemed pretty straightforward. I managed to use it, so it must have been pretty straightforward. So yeah, that was nice to see, being able to have custom fonts, something that if you are full site editing your site, it just seems like it was a gaping hole in the process that you could do everything, but you just couldn't set the font without doing a bit of code and a bit of jumping into things. So it seems
that's
a sensible big one to come into there. So that's good. Elliot says the block binding API. That was on my list as well. I'll come to that in a second. Excuse me. So the block binding API, bindings API, if I understand this correctly, is the ability to bind the block's data to something external. So the obvious example here would be that you maybe have a paragraph block, but you want to populate the content of that paragraph with the value of a custom field. So we do a lot of work with jobs. So for example, you might have a custom field that holds the salary of the job, but and you want to display that salary in the block editor for the post template that you're using. So you could bind that to a paragraph block, and when that custom field value changes, it automatically changes on that block and so on. So I think that is encouraging. I think it's stuff that is already doable in other things. I know in Elementor, you can output the value of a custom field in, do they call them elements in Elementor? Not sure. In a content thing, yeah. You can definitely do that in there. I think this is on the roadmap for this. At the moment, it seems like it's going to be a code thing. You've got to do it in code. So you've got to switch to the code editor to add the attributes to the block. I think that the idea is to then take that and make it into a UI so that you don't have to do the code, but you can do it with a UI. And then I think the further down the line, it would make sense to be able to set up everything, you know, without any code at all. So that would be good as well. And ultimately, what would be even better is that you could change the value of the thing you've binded in the block editor, and it updated the source of that data, in this instance, a custom field. Yeah.
So, Mark, is it your understanding that using the block bindings API, I could create a page, add a paragraph, switch to the code view, add something, some kind of attribute, or something, and pull post meta into that. That is what I will be able to do as of 6.5.
You'll be able to bind data to any attribute that that block has and is supported. So, for example, an image
without having to write any further code.
Yes, that's my understanding. Right. At the moment, you have to jump into the code editor and just set it on the block attributes, like a little JSON string thing. But like an image block has attributes for the source and for the alt, so you could bind two different custom fields to each of those things, for example. That's the way. There are some limitations currently, that is that it only works with certain blocks. I think it's paragraph, image, there's about four or five, I can't remember what they are now, but there's not too many blocks there, and as I said, it does require a little bit of you know, jumping into the code editor for now and doing it. But I think it's a good start. But I think for me is if you can edit the values in the block editor, that is the ultimate thing. So like we could build the single job template of a site with blocks and still save all the values to meta, and they could be edited on that page. I think that would be superb. And who knows? Yeah. Maybe that's coming.
Cool.
So that's the block bindings API. Good, exciting. We'll get better, I'm sure. And I think, I presume that as well as custom fields, eventually you'll be able to bind other data sources to these blocks as well.
Is that what it's limited to currently? Is it custom fields?
I'm not sure, but that's what all the demo was all about. Yeah. Like it was met. That's so I'm getting the impression that it is at the moment.
Okay.
But, so you set like the source to like core/post meta, I think it is. But you could set like core/taxonomy, maybe. You could set, I don't know, custom/my wonderful source of data. I don't know.
I'm just looking at, this is actually a Tavern, WP Tavern article, and it says, the list of supported blocks and attributes is short, but this is only the beginning. So it's the paragraph block, and you can bind the content of the paragraph block.
Yeah.
The heading, you can bind the content. The image, you can bind the URL, the alt text, or the title of the image. And for buttons, you can bind the text, the URL, the link target, and the rel. So
just pop them in a little comment there for us, the ones that
So there's only four blocks that you can work with, and not a lot of attributes you could potentially add to it. But still, it's a start, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely a start. Yeah. So that's the block bindings API. I think the sort of, I don't know the goal of it is, but it's like you and we've had this where you think, oh, I could like we've got a block for this, but I can't use it because it's a custom field that I'm pulling in. So the idea, I think, is that you'll have to build less custom blocks because you can use the blocks that are already there to then populate them with the data that you've got elsewhere, exactly. Which kind of makes sense, I think, for me. So hopefully that'll be good. The next one is the interactivity API, which I have to confess, I am still not 100% sure what this actually is. Explanation of it has been less than easy to understand.
The people who understand it are very excited, though, so let's say this is a very good thing.
Yeah. If you do understand it and you can tell me in a sentence what it is, then please put it in the comments. It says on the post, it says it aims to be a standard way to allow developers to add interactivity to the front end of their blocks, which I assume, I'm not a front end developer, but you would have to do that with JavaScript if you didn't use this, maybe. And I guess, is it trying to allow people to not use JavaScript to do that? I'm not entirely sure. I don't know, and I don't know how it works. Mm. But people are very excited about this, and yeah. I saw a demo of a concept of a mega menu from Nick Diego, where he had used the interactivity API to display a mega menu item on a site. Which I've got to confess, you look at that and think, do I need the interactivity API to do that? But clearly, it helped. So. Fingers crossed, it's going to be a good addition to 6.5. We'll see. But they look good. Yeah. They were the headlines for me. There's lots of other little bits and bobs, little improvements here and there, and other things. Anyone else got anything else that they've seen that we've glaringly missed that they're looking forward to? Please let us know in the comments. But yeah, fonts, block bindings, interactivity API, they seem to me like the big headlines that are going to come in 6.5. as I said, I'm sure there'll be other little iterations of things as and when, but
I've just seen that the cover block is getting aspect ratio support, and I think that's cool.
Yep.
Because currently you can set a minimum height, but you can't say I want this to be a square.
Right. Got you.
So aspect ratio is going to let you do that. I think that's cool.
Yep.
And then the columns, image, and button blocks are going to get box shadow support. And I'm intrigued. Does that mean that other blocks already have box shadow support? Because I've never seen box shadow.
No, I've never seen either.
And if not, why is group not part of that list? I don't know. But what does the UI look like for box shadow? Because that's kind of interesting too. Like, that's quite a... Yeah. I haven't seen that at all, so...
I can't think what you set. Is it box shadow? You set like a distance and a...
Yeah.
Well, I can't remember how you do it now.
You set like a blur and an offset. You set offsets, yeah. Horizontal and vertical offsets, a kind of distance.
Won't they just be sliders then? And then a color?
I presume so. And then a color, yeah. With an opacity. Yeah. So there's quite a lot of UI involved in that. And obviously, we're going to want to make sure that is set globally. It'd be nice to be able to say, set three different box shadows for like tight shadow, medium shadow, long shadow, or something like that, and then be able to apply those in different circumstances. But we'll see. Just wait for like box shadow to be all over every theme from now on. But yeah. I love a box shadow, so I'm not necessarily complaining.
You're going to go nuts with the box shadow, yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Mark tells me, thanks, says, I asked for aspect ratio, going back to what we were just saying. I asked for aspect ratio on the cover block in GitHub in 2019.
Well, there you go. You've got it. Just wait 5 years and you get your wish.
Yep. It's only taken 5 years.
So put your issues in today and set your calendar reminder for 2029.
Mark also said, this is relating back to the interactivity API, it will help if you have no experience of writing JavaScript. I think put myself in that bucket. I mean, I do have experience, but not very good experience. And my JavaScript isn't very good either. But it is overly complicated if you can already code JS. Interesting.
Why would they make it overly complicated? I mean, I don't answer that.
I said if you already code JS. So it might mean that it's not. If you, as in, it's slightly more complicated. Why would you make it more complicated than Jessel? Yeah, I don't know.
I would have thought the people that are building this are building it to make their lives easier in some way, not to make it harder.
I suppose one thing it will do, though, is, well, if people use it, is it will standardize the way in which interactivity is added to the front end of a block. Whereas in JavaScript, you could probably do it a number of ways, couldn't you, depending on your preferences, I guess.
Are these essentially like front end hooks?
I don't know. I still don't know, but I'm sure they're awesome.
I can't wait for the episode where, like, we've had our light bulb moment. Like, everybody, we understand. It's awesome.
We'll come on next week and we'll be like, yes, finally, the interactivity API makes sense.
Maybe 5 years.
We'll see.
Yeah.
Cool. Right. I think that's us done. Thank you, everybody, for joining us, as usual. Seem to have a few more people today, which is nice.
Really nice.
We will be back next week at 1:30 on a Friday afternoon to chat more WordPress stuff, what we've been up to, what's going on in the world of WordPress. So do join us if you can. Subscribe, like the video, please. That would really help us. And we will see you next week. Bye-bye.
See you then. Bye.